Am I being conformed to the image of Christ? And in Romans 8 verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Praise God, that God's aim through the gospel is to conform us to the image of his Son through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the indwelling spirit that he is has set a purpose for that work, that we will be conformed to his image. If we remember in Romans 12, verse 2, it says that, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Praise God. So the aim of the gospel and the aim of our hearts is to become like Jesus and to shed the things of the world. That is the work that God is doing within us, in our hearts, is to take away the things of the world, remove all those things from us, so that all we do is portray the life of Jesus to this dying world and how much this world needs it. When we see all the terrible things that are going on at this moment in time, how much this world needs Jesus and the gospel. But it's not just, as we've heard many times, us speaking the word to people, but it's also how we live our lives, how we come over. Are we coming over with the life of Jesus in our lives, or do we just continue to practice the ways of the world and do the things that the world do? Because that is what a lot of the problem is in the mainstream church today. And when you speak to people in the world, they say, "Why do we need to go to church? Because the church is no different to the world." But praise God, we believe that the Lord has brought us out of that, and he's put a purpose in our lives that we will be conformed to the image of his Son. And the question we all have to ask ourselves is that happening in my life? Because only each one of us can answer that question. Is it happening in my life? Is it happening in your life? I cannot answer that question for anyone else, but surely we should be able to see whether we are portraying the life of Jesus to this world, or whether we are still going along with the ways of the world and what the world does. And I know it's very difficult with families, but we know what Jesus said, that we are to forsake all and follow him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So are we seeing the character of Christ being portrayed in our lives? If we're not, then we seek the Lord for it. And the Lord is gracious, and he will give us that desire of our heart. If that affection is in our heart to be conformed to his image, praise God, he will do it. He will perfect it in our hearts, because we know that the word says that nothing is impossible for God. You know, he can do anything. If our hearts are open and want to receive, God can do it. And in if we turn to Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, he is able. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise God, that is the answer. If our heart's desire is to partake of the things of the Spirit, to partake of the character of Christ, and we ask God and we delight in it, then he will bring it to pass. Nothing can stop that. As we said, God can do anything, but it has to come from our side. It has to be, is that what we want in our lives, or do we still want to keep holding on to the things and the ways of the world? But praise God, I believe that the Lord is showing us and working with us and drawing and taking away the things of the world from our life. Proverbs 10:24 also said, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. What a promise we have there, praise God. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. So if we desire it and we ask of God, he will grant it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 11 verse 23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good. Hallelujah. So we have the answers there. God has given us the answers. If we desire and delight to have Christ's nature working in our lives, his character working in our lives by the Holy Spirit, he will put it there. Nothing can stop it. And he will be glorified through it. And I believe the Lord has shown me that there are five main areas in our lives. And I know that we walk or are asked to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which we know of Galatians. But I believe there's five main areas in our life that really portrays whether we are portraying the character of Christ or whether we are still walking in the ways of the world. And that first one is, and these are in no particular order that God has given them to me, but the first one I believe is humility, to be humble, not to be proud. Praise God. If we turn to Philippians chapter 2 verses 7 and 8, Philippians chapter 2 verses 7 and 8, glory to God. And all of these speaks of Christ's character. We are not being asked to do anything different to what the Lord did and how he was. And in Philippians 2 verse 7 it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. So even though Jesus was God in flesh, he still had to humble himself to go through what the Father had already predestined, ordained, that was to happen, that we, man, could be reconciled to himself. Praise God, what a statement that is, that even the Lord Jesus Christ had to humble himself, and how much more we. But so often in this world, the way is to be proud. We won't humble ourselves. We won't back down. We're always right, or that is the character of many in this world today. They're always right. You're always wrong. They will never humble themselves. But Jesus humbled himself that he might go to the cross. Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For which is greater, he that dineth, or he that serveth? Is not he that dineth? But I am among you as he that serveth. So Jesus came to serve. He humbled himself. And as we shall see later in the word, that Jesus humbled himself, that he washed the disciples' feet. Nothing, he didn't stand up proud saying that I am the Son of God and being proud with that. Yes, he did confess that he was the Son of God, but he was a humble man, and that has got to be the same for us, praise God. We have to be humble. We cannot be proud in this world. We've got to be prepared to go that extra mile. You know, in situations that come across our path, if we're shown something, if the Lord show us that somebody wants something done or whatever it is to help somebody, we can't just turn that away saying that that is beneath us. We can't do that. We have to humble ourselves because we are the light of this world. We show Jesus to this dying world, and it's when we partake of these things that are not the norm in this world today that people ask the question, what is different about you? You seem to be different. And I expect we've all had that said to us at some time. You seem to be different. There is something different about you because you don't do the same things that other people do. And praise God for that. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, if we go back to Luke chapter 18 now, hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves, and they who were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one the Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And praise God, we know what tax collectors were looked upon in that time. They were frowned upon. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and him that humble himself shall be exalted. Praise God. So there's a very, very good promise there which Jesus has given us, that as we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. But we won't be exalted of this world, but we will be exalted in heaven, praise God. But we have to have that humble heart. And again, it's like everything else, you know, is that desire in our hearts to be that humble person? Or do we want to frown upon those who have not or are not in the place where we think they should be? Just as this Pharisee stood there and prayed. And as we now saw, I thank God that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. And that really spoke, you know, that really tells you what that man's heart was, a very, very, very proud man, whereas the other man could not even lift his eyes up to heaven. You know, it so speaks to me, and I think it speaks to all of us that, you know, we have to be that humble person and be prepared to go that extra mile in certain circumstances. Praise God. James chapter 4. If we turn to James chapter 4. Hallelujah. And these, a lot of these scriptures we know, we've had over the years. And now, James chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Praise God. So, you know, in the word we clearly see that we are to humble ourselves before the Lord and he will lift us up. And God is in complete control of every situation in this world. So what we see, whether it be amongst our Christian brothers and sisters or those in the world, you know, we just remain humble. We don't criticize them because God has got everything under control. And if they are to be his in his time, he will draw them to his side. We are not to criticize and judge them. So praise God. If we just humble ourselves and just leave it to God, he will bring his will to pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. And also we know the one in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's exactly what happened with Jesus. He humbled himself to go to the cross to make reconciliation and make a way for us to be reconciled to his Father. But praise God, although that looked so negative at the time when he was going to the cross, but God had the final say, and he glorified the Lord. He lifted him up, raised him up, resurrected him. And he glorified him. Praise God. So that is one aspect, I believe, of the life that we should be portraying to this world. Praise God. Humility. The second one is obedience, to do what God wants us to do. Jesus, as we've already said, humbled himself. And as it says in the word, that he became obedient unto the cross. If we go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So even through all what Jesus went through, he learned obedience by the things that he went through. And it should be the same for us, praise God, that as we go through this walk and things come across our path that we don't like, instead of us getting agitated about it or reacting in the way that we do sometimes, then praise God, we should just leave it with the Lord, just keep ourselves humble and obedient to what God says and tells us to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 25. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And we know that that was talking about the fall of Adam. Praise God. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hallelujah. So it's the obedience of Jesus Christ to his Father has given us that entrance, that way into the kingdom of God. He's given us eternal life because he was obedient, as we saw said, he was obedient unto his Father, even unto the death of the cross, which by going to the cross has given us the access to be able to commune with God again in the way that the Lord planned it in the first place when he created Adam in the garden. But unfortunately, as we know, Adam fell, and it took the work of God to bring Jesus into the world, his only begotten Son, that he could reconcile man to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 40 verse 8. Psalm 40 verse 8. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this, I believe, should be, well, for me anyway, this should be something that should be with me all the time. Should be the desire of our hearts to do this for the Lord. Hallelujah. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And that is to be obedient to what to God's word. And praise God, God's word is written on our hearts. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, thy law is within my heart. So glory to God. If that is the desire of our heart, then God can do it. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 22. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 22. And this is showing the early church, when they went out and preached the word, they were obedient unto what the commission that the Lord had given them before he ascended to heaven. As you know, we know that he's told them to go out and preach the gospel, and this is exactly what they did. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, 13 to 22. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And beholding the man who was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all those who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Hallelujah. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of the Lord. But John and Peter answered and said unto them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Hallelujah. They're very forthright there in saying and professing what the Lord had said to them. You know, the Lord had said to them to go out and preach the gospel to this world. And that's exactly what they were doing. And they were not going to be put off because man had come along and said that they were not to. Praise the Lord for that. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Hallelujah. Oh, verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. So glory to God. You know, the disciples didn't take any notice of what the Sanhedrin was saying when they were brought before them. But they went about, they were obedient, and they continued to go about the Father's business as Jesus did when he walked on this earth. He said that he was about his Father's business in the temple at 6 years old, I believe it was. Glory to God. So Peter and John were not afraid of the men. They just continued to preach the word, preach the gospel. And if we just go over the page to chapter 5, we will see again that they just continued to preach the gospel without fear. And verse 29 to 32, and this again, in verse 28, they had been hauled in again, as you might as well say. They'd been arrested, and the people said in verse 28, "Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to obey God rather than men. Glory to God. That is the first two aspects I believe the Lord has shown me. The third aspect of our lives that portray Jesus to this dying world is compassion. Have we a heart of compassion for those out there in the world, those who are suffering, those who are dying, those in need? You know, I know that in certain circumstances, God can use things to bring a change in somebody's life, but God will clearly show that to us. But when he show us a circumstance, a need, or whatever it is, you know, we should have that affection in our heart to be compassionate towards that person. And we know that the Lord is our example. This is what we're trying to show this morning through Scripture, that it's the Lord's heart that we are to portray to this world. And we've got one or two scriptures just to show this, of the Lord's compassion upon people and in certain circumstances. So if we can just turn now to Matthew 15, verses 32 to 39. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 34. Sorry, 32 to 39. 32 to 39. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And the disciples say unto him, from where should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave it to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken pieces that were left 7 full baskets. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and got into a boat and came into the borders of Magadan. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus had so much compassion upon those who had been with him for such a long time, 3 days it says, and he was not prepared to send them away hungry. And it's should be the same for us. You know, if we see people in need and the Lord show us to meet that need, praise God, we should have that compassion in our heart to meet that need and do what Jesus wants us to do, what the Lord show us by the Holy Spirit to do. But so very often we know that the way of the world is today, well, I'm okay. Don't worry about anybody else. I'm okay. So long as I've got what I want and what I've got, other people, they'll have to worry about themselves. But that is not to be the case with us. Our heart is to be compassionate towards those for whatever reason. If the Lord show us a need or somebody need help or whatever it may be, you know, our heart should be compassionate. There should be compassion in our heart to be able to go and do what the Lord wants us to do. And God will provide. That's the thing. Just as he's shown here, you know, he had 7 loaves and a few fishes and all that was taken up afterwards. A miracle was done. And as we said the other week, you know, we serve the same God as the disciples, the early church served. So what Jesus could do then, he can do today, praise God. Hallelujah. So if he show us that there is a need or whatever, he will give us the grace and he will provide to fulfill that need. I just turn back to Matthew 14, I think it is 14. Matthew 14, 14. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed the sick. You know, Jesus' heart was full of compassion for mankind. We know that it was the Father's heart that he would come, that he would die on the cross. As we said, it would make the way for reconciliation for man. But also in that, you know, God made a way for deliverance, for healing, for everything, that every need would be met. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus had that compassionate heart to meet those needs, to just step out, lay hands on the sick, and it says that he healed them all. Glory to God. Matthew 20:29-34. Hallelujah. And this is talking about the two blind men. Matthew 20:29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, that they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What wilt thou do unto, what shall I do unto you?" They say unto the Lord, "That our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that, you know, when the Lord shows us something, as the Lord was shown here, those two men made it quite plain that they had a need, and it was their time that they would be healed. Praise God. Jesus moved in with compassion, and as a result of him moving in and touching their eyes, praise God, they received their sight. And that can also be the same with us. Hallelujah. You know, as we move in and help somebody, that can make a tremendous difference to whoever it is the Lord has shown us to help. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Luke 10:30-37. Luke 10:30-37. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan, praise God. And Jesus answering them, "A certain man went down from Jericho to from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." Is that to be us? If the Lord show us? Certainly not, I believe. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came from where he was, and when he saw the man, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound him his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said the Lord unto him, "Go and do likewise." Glory to God. So there we see Jesus showing how the Good Samaritan had, in that parable, had compassion and met the needs of that man, helping him, even paying the bill, and even said to the innkeeper that if he was owed any more, the next time he come past, he would pay the rest that was due. Glory to God. Praise God. Can that be said of our hearts? Hallelujah. So that is number 3, compassion. Number four, I believe, is being forgiving. Being forgiving. Because today, in this world today, it's very difficult. Most people do not want to forgive. When something go wrong, they hold a grudge against another person, not only for days, but weeks, months, years. And we know it goes on in families. Praise God. It's happened in my family, and it's happening in my family, that when things have gone wrong, nobody's prepared to put the hands up, say sorry, and forgive what has happened. But no, we'll just carry on in my own way. You know, you've done me wrong. And as you've done me wrong, I can't forgive you of that. But Jesus' heart is for us to be forgiven. He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us much. Praise God. Each one of us can say that, that God has forgiven us much for where we were in our lives, what we were doing, the things that we were participating in, and how he has now brought us out of all of that and forgiven us, and as it were, given us that new start in life. We are that new creation in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And again, Jesus is our example. This is what we're looking at. Jesus is our example of being forgiving, as we are also to forgive. And this again is a very scripture that we know very well. It's Luke 23 verse 34. Luke 23 verse 34. And this is when the Jews put Jesus to the cross. And in verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they departed his raiment and cast lots. Cool. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. That God could even forgive those who had done such an act. What a heart Jesus had. That is the Father's heart. Glory to God. A heart of forgiveness. Glory to God. And again, if we remember that in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen spoke to the multitude there and he relayed all the things that had happened, and they took exception to it, and they decided then that they were going to stone Stephen. They took him outside of the gate and stoned him. And if you remember that, Stephen looked up to heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and he uttered the same words that Jesus did, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know not what they do." Glory to God. Praise God. Is that in our heart? Have we got that forgiveness in our heart for when people do us wrong, when they cross us? Can we just, again, tied up with humility, just humble ourselves and just forgive them? You know, the thing what we have to remember is, brothers and sisters, is that, praise God, it's not what we get in this world that is going to make a difference to us, but it is the crown of glory that we're going to receive in the next world. Praise God. And that is what God is looking for, how we cope with these situations. Glory to God. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said, "And when ye stand praying, forgive If you have anything against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Hallelujah. So there's our answer. Jesus said it plainly. So praise God. It's there for all of us to read and to participate in, that we are to forgive and then we will be forgiven. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How much more we ought to forgive after all that Jesus has done for us, as we said earlier. Praise God. He's done it all for us when we didn't deserve anything, but he has forgiven us of all our old ways, and he has set our feet on that new path, and that we are that new creation in Christ. So that is attribute number four, or whatever you like to call it, but anyhow. And the last one, number five, is love, which is the greatest characteristic of all. We know that the word says that God is love. And if we love Jesus as we say we do, and we have that heart of love within us, then all the other four will fall into place. You know, in Corinthians 13, I think that says that faith, hope and charity, or love, the greatest of these is love or charity. Praise God. God is love. He's got an endless love. It can never be measured. As we can remember that little chorus that the children used to sing many years about, how big God's love is. It's wide, wide as the ocean. You know, as from as vast as you can imagine, it is absolute vastness, his love, which is bestowed upon us and given to us. Hallelujah. Just want to have a look at a few examples of this in John chapter 13 verses 31 to 35. So we know that John is the love chapter. John 13 verses 31 to 35. Hallelujah. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." And this is talking about when, before Jesus was, he was predicting his betrayal. And after Judas had left the room, Jesus said, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said you unto the Jews, where I go you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So that is the great commission, great commandment that Jesus give us, that we are to love one another. And as I said earlier, it is, if we have the Father's heart, that heart of love within us, residing within us by the Holy Spirit, then all those other four things will fall into place. John 15 verses 9 to 14. Jesus speaking of the same thing. John 15 verses 9 onwards. "As the Lord has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Grace. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Praise God that the Lord call us his friends, and he has laid down his life for us. But how much more we, that we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not worrying about what will befall us, because as Peter and John, when they were preaching, they weren't worried about what the Jews would do unto them, but they just knew that they were in the perfect will of God, doing what Jesus had asked them to do, to go and preach the gospel to all the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. And this is Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes. Hallelujah. Ye have heard that it has been said, love thy neighbor, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But that is exactly the way it is of the world. You know, it's so easy to love somebody who love you, but somebody who causes one a problem, causes me a problem, causes any you a problem, it's not quite so easy to love. But Jesus, as we read a minute ago, has given us that commandment that we are to love one another, to love our enemy, and not to hate them. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. So the Lord, hallelujah, is telling us to do there exactly opposite to what the world would tell you to do. You know, the world would never tell you to love your enemy. They would tell you to hate them. You know, somebody who does you wrong, they would never tell you to bless them. Also, never to do any good to those, for them that hate you. But praise God, it is, if we do these things as Jesus commanded us, which will show to this world that we are different. And that is what the Lord is wanting from his church today, that the world does see that we are different, that we aren't conforming to the ways of the world and the ways of most of the church today, unfortunately. But that is how it is. And he goes on in verse 45, that ye may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Praise the Lord. For if you love them who love you, what reward have you? Absolutely. What reward is there if you love them who love you? Do not even the tax collectors the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the heathen do so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father is in, as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that perfection is in the love of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. 1 John 3:13-19. 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. 1 John 3, chapter 1 John 3:13-19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 1 John 3, well, we go back to verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. But whosoever has his world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let us not just walk in words, but let us walk in the truth by faith, allowing the Lord to show us these things, that we meet the needs that God show us if we have the resources to do it. And praise God, sometimes we may not have the needs to or the resources to meet a certain thing, but we by faith have to step out and do what God want, and God will supply, God will meet that need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see there that God's love is endless. It abounds unto us. Hallelujah. 1 John 4. I think it's 1 John 4. 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God has bestowed and shown his love to us, and how much more should we show our love for him to this dying world? Praise God. Jesus is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. And so should we be prepared, I believe, that if it was called for, the love of God within our hearts would cause us to lay down our lives for our brethren in whatever situation it is. And in conclusion, I'd just like to say, can we say of ourselves, is this happening in our lives? Are we portraying the image of Christ to this world? If we can't, then we need to seek God for it. Praise the Lord. Only each one of us can know, as we said earlier. You know, God is love, and he resides within us by the Holy Spirit. And whatever we lack in these areas, God is quite able to perfect in our lives. You know, we believe in the fruit of the Spirit, and we have to walk in them with the Lord's help. It's not anything that we can do. It has to be done by the Spirit. And as we know, what it says in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. And I believe that's what the Lord had for us today. Hallelujah.
finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So my love for you is lifted by the strong wings of your spirit, carried to the throne of God, to the one who set me free. And Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. And Jesus is